Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Turn to the word of the Lord, Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14. I don't have my contact in. I'll tell you about my contact. It's a great story. I got a friend that owns this place where he sells glasses and contacts, and he's such a good guy. And every time I go there, he gives me a lot of solutions and stuff free and to wash your eyes. And so he gives me a whole bag of stuff. And I said to him, I said, Gary, I said, is all this good to put in your eye? He said, oh, yeah, it's all fine. So the next morning, I get up, throw some of it in my eye. I only wear one contact. And throw it in my eye. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody has stuck a needle in my eye. And I finally am able to look and see what I've put in my eye, and it's disinfectant. I will go to the eye doctor, and he said, you have chemically burnt your eye. And he said, there's not going to be any long-term damage, but you're going to have some pain for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And he was right about that. So anyway, until I get my contact back in, I got to wear these glasses to read my text. And really, the reason I got wear my glasses is because I don't have my font big enough on my iPad. All kinds of problems here this morning. But praise God, I'm going to preach like a man from another world anyway. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Here's the clause. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Verse 21. And Peter called into remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. And one more verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I want to talk to you on the subject today, unseasonable, unreasonable faith. Unseasonable, unreasonable faith. You may be seated. Jesus was hungry, the Bible said. When you become hungry, you become irritable. If you can possibly, tip wait staff well. That's not a good job. People are rude in restaurants when they're talking because they're hungry or they wouldn't be there. So they're already irritable. And then they want it a certain way. And so being a wait person is a tough job because people are just irritable when they're hungry. And so we can look at this story of Jesus cursing this fig tree, and we could say, well, I guess he was irritable and hungry. And he was having quite a day. That's the same day he went down and turned all the tables over in the temple. He's having quite a day. But the reason why Jesus cursed this tree was not because he was mad at the tree, nor was it because he lost his temper. He is using this moment to make a life-changing lesson to his disciples. He wants to teach them something that will forever change their lives. And the Bible said, and seeing a tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happened, he might find anything therein. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And this is the phrase, for the time of figs was not yet. That tree wasn't even supposed to have figs on it. It wasn't the right season. It wasn't the right time. Paul would write to Timothy and said, be instant in season and out of season. What is Jesus' final words when he's questioned on the way back by that tree? Later the next day, they come by that tree. It's withered. It's died. And Peter says, oh, that tree that you cursed is dead. And Jesus' response to that is, have faith in God. It's not about the tree at all. It's about Peter and the disciples. And Jesus is teaching them a lesson that faith is superior to season, superior to that which is normal, that which is neutral, that which is natural, that which is expected, that which is timely, that faith is able to trump and supersede all of that. You know, the day I started this church, I have had a really good friend. He's one of my best friends for a long time. And he and I were going to start churches on the very same day. And I started this church, Becky and I started this church, and then I called him to see how his first service went. And I just talked to him earlier in the week, and he said, "Brother Steve," he said, "I didn't start my church today." I said, "You didn't? Why?" He said, "Gasoline is too high, and interest rates are too expensive." And they were. Gas was high, and interest was expensive. So he said, "I'm not going to start today. I'm going to wait a few weeks or a few months until the economy gets better." My friend died the other day. He's about my age, and he died and went to heaven. Great guy, great preacher. He never did start that church. He just never did, because it just wasn't the right season. So he was a singer and a preacher and a great guy. But he died with his church still in his heart. He died with his song unsung. He died with his sermon unpreached. He died with his congregation yet ungathered. He died with his building yet unbuilt, because it just wasn't the right season. Friend, I want to tell you that faith is able to supersede any circumstance or any situation, no matter what it is. You know, there's a chapter that I love in the Bible. It's the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and that's heaven's hall of fame. That's the Bible's hall of fame. It's about the greatest men and women of faith in the entire Bible. And when you read it, you find these people did amazing things. But the reason why they did amazing things, they did them against all odds. Do you know that every miracle is against all odds? Against that which is likely, predictable, and that the experts say are going to happen. Faith will always overcome the experts. They'll tell you why it can't be done and why it shouldn't be done, but if you're a person of faith, you will do it anyway. Regardless of they discount you because of your personality or lack of talent or lack of education, if you've got faith, you can be an overcomer of every circumstance and every situation. In that hall of faith, the Bible lists a man by the name of Abraham and a woman by the name of Sarah. The truth is that when they had their miracle, they were beyond the season of childbearing, but they had faith in God. Don't ever let anybody tell you that it's too late in your life. It's never too late. The Bible said, now faith. They didn't have faith in their flesh to produce. When Abraham looked at that 90-year-old woman, he didn't say, "Oh, she just looks like she'd get pregnant." He said, "She looks like somebody's grandma." But praise God, the Bible said that we're going to conceive. And so it doesn't matter what's on the outside. Their faith was not in their flesh. Their faith was in their God and His ability to perform. When Isaac mentioned in this hall of faith, when he was mentioned, it was to talk about the guy that looked at the famine that was around him, and everybody was saying, "It's over. We'll never be successful. We won't be able to feed our families, and we certainly won't be able to become wealthy." But the Bible said that Isaac sowed in the time of famine and reaped a hundredfold harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that faith is amazing. It's unreasonable because it believes the Word of God when it's staring in the face of the facts that say absolutely the opposite of what you desire. But it's believing and trusting God's Word. Jacob was born in an inferior position of being second to his twin brother Esau. His violent faith caused him to be victorious in obtaining the birthright and blessing and overcoming what Paul called the curse of being born out of due season. You want to talk about somebody that is a miracle worker that had no right to expect a miracle, a woman out of due season, but the Bible mentions her in this hall of fame. And it is Rahab the harlot. Against all odds, when the spies came in, she received them. Those spies, I believe, symbolically represent God's Word and God's Spirit. Friend, no matter where you came from, she was a harlot. No telling what kind of conditions in her life that drove her to harlotry that she might be able to sustain herself. But she was able to receive the two spies that God sent to Jericho. And she represents us, no matter our background or where we came from. If you can reach out and seize God's word, if you can reach out and seize God's spirit, no matter what your background is, it will no way limit your place in Almighty God. Not only was she saved from the destruction of that city, when you study in Matthew, the lineage of Jesus Christ, believe it or not, her grandson is listed in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She went from being a harlot with her life threatened in Jericho to becoming a person of fame in the lineage of Jesus Christ simply because she said, season doesn't matter. I'm going to be instant in season, out of season. I'm going to receive what God has got for me. David, when he was doing his great exploits, he had not yet reached the season of maturity. The Bible said that Goliath was mad because he said, you sent a boy out to do a man's job. Friend, I don't care how young you are. You might be just a young person here today in your early teens or even younger than that. And you say, when I get older, don't say older, say right now. Friend, the greatest thing that the devil wants you to do is to put it off. Procrastination is one of the greatest weapons of the devil. Simply don't do it today. But the Bible said, now faith. And Caleb, he was just exactly the opposite from David. He was aged beyond his season of strength. But he said, I don't care what they say. They say I'm an old man. But he said, I'm as strong this day as I ever was. Give me this mountain. God is speaking to somebody right now within the sound of my voice and telling you that all you need to do is get your faith out, exercise it through prayer, praise, declaration, confession, praise God, and say, I'm going to do it. I've made a living doing what people told me I could not do. I remember one time having a pasture full of black and white paint mares, and a guy drove up to my house, and he looked at those horses, and he said, I pity you. He said, black and white paint horses, the bottom just dropped out of the market. They were very high for a while. He said, the bottom just dropped out of the black and white paint horses, and he said, you're stuck with them. Well, I don't know where that guy is, but I've got one stallion that I bought for $4,000 that made me over $100,000, and he's as black and white as you can be. I've made a living doing what people said I could not do because I realize that my success is not in my strength or my ingenuity or my ability or lack thereof. My faith is in God. These little scriptures that become cliches on people's refrigerators, I don't have them on my refrigerator. I've got them tacked to my heart. I believe that God is on my side. I believe that God is for me. I believe if God is for me, that I'm greater than the majority. I believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I believe that I'm the head and not the tail. I believe that I shall win and not lose. I believe that God has got a great future for me, and it's written in the palm of his hand, and he looks at it every day and says, I got to bless Steve today because my faith is in him. And God and I don't operate on my track record, Chris. We operate on Jesus' track record. I've never prayed in the name of Steve. I've never said because I paid X number of dollars in tithes in a lifetime. I've said because Jesus Christ paid it all at the cross. My faith is in Christ. My faith is in the Holy Ghost. My faith is in the Word of God. And it simply does not matter what the seasons are. And so here we are in the time of COVID. But I want to tell you, this is an exceptional time for you to step up and step out. It's a time for you to praise better than you've ever praised, be more faithful than you've ever been, and expect more than you've ever expected, and say, look what the Lord is doing in my life. God is looking for people to make heroes out of, and you could be one of them. When you go through this 11th chapter of Hebrews and find this wonderful hall of faith, it's not exceptional people, it's an exceptional God. And we serve that exceptional God today, and he's in this house right now. And God is waiting for somebody to say something they've never said, to do something they've never done, be something they've never been, give something they've never given, go and do something they've never done. This is our finest hour. I'm stepping up and saying, God, the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that was never finished. It is a continuing epistle. And Lord, I want you to write me in that hall of faith, because I don't believe that I will be limited by season. I don't believe that I will be limited by my flesh. I believe that my faith will take me over every barrier. It will take me over every embattlement. It will cause me to leap over a wall and run through a troop, because God is on my side. You know, the Apostle Paul is the most amazing man of the Bible to me. He's just so profound in his writing and such an inspiration as I read the Word. But the Bible said this. After that, he was seen of James talking about Jesus, and then all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. The Apostle Paul said, well, I'm doing some great things. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm writing epistles that are forever going to be recorded as God's word. But the truth is, I was born out of due season. What did he mean that? He said, I did not have the opportunity to become one of the original 12 disciples. I never walked with Jesus Christ in person. I never saw Jesus Christ perform a miracle. And here I am now, the apostle to the Gentiles. But if you study the life of the Apostle Paul, the Bible said that the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus Road. The Bible said that he said, I am not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles. In other words, I was born out of due season, but that didn't slow me down a bit. Ladies and gentlemen, you can make excuses or you can be a hero of faith. The choice is not up to your enemies. The choice is up to you. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to explain why? Are you going to say, I am an achiever and nobody can stop me from achieving what God said I could have? On that Damascus Road, Paul became a tremendous disciple of God. From an unlikely position as a Pharisee and a person that never literally walked with Jesus at all, but it didn't stop him at all. Friend, I want to tell you that God has given us some tremendous promises for the day that we live in. I love Isaiah 53. It talks about Jesus being the root out of dry ground. Roots are not born out of dry ground. They're born out of well-moistured soil. But Jesus Christ was an improbable Savior at an improbable time. The Bible said he was not comely that anybody should look on him and desire him. But Jesus Christ became the hope of the world. And regardless of all the atheists, agnostic, and haters, we will celebrate his birthday in just a few days. And as Pastor said, it's celebrated every time you write a check and put the date on it, every time you flip your calendar, every time you say this is Monday, every time you say this is Saturday, because everything goes back to one thing, and that is B.C. or A.D. It's all about Jesus Christ. All time is about him, even though he was a root out of dry ground. Jesus set the precedent. An improbable birth against all odds. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And everybody said no, but the greatest thing that ever lived came out of Nazareth. I don't know where you came from or what your past is, but I'm telling you, it does not need to limit you, because what motivates you and what accelerates you is your faith in God. What do you think about God? I think that he loved me so much that he spared no expense of heaven. He sent his only begotten son to die for me. If he did that, that means God is able to take care of me, that God is able to perform for me, that God will give me everything I need if I will just say my faith might be unreasonable. It might be unseasonable. This is not the time for figs, and this is not even the time when it's supposed to bear fruit, but that doesn't matter. Jesus said, have faith in Almighty God. a teenage Jewish girl gave birth to the Savior? That's improbable. Oh, friend, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ deals in that which is unseasonable and unbelievable and impossible, and God is on your side. He's given us tremendous prophecies and promises for the 21st century. I've done a lot of sowing in my lifetime, but I haven't done enough sowing to reap the harvest that I want in my life. And guess what? The Bible said in the last days, I will reap where I haven't even sown. God's going to do things in the end time that is never done before. When you study the ministry of Christ, and when you study the book of Acts and the disciples and see what they've done, it is mind-boggling. But Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. He always saved the best to last. They didn't have the best wine at the beginning of the marriage. They had the best wine at the end of the marriage. The best wine of the church will be the last days. The greatest miracles of the church will be the last days. And the greatest things in your life are yet to come. They are not in the past. But you've got to be able to say, hey, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what circumstances dictate, because I've got unreasonable, unseasonable faith, and I say that anything is possible with God. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to call those things that be not as though they were. The law of sowing and reaping are going to be accelerated according to the Word of God. For He tells us in Amos, there is a day coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. I used that 2 weeks ago because it's a fantastic verse. The plowman is going to overtake the reaper. There is a season of sowing and reaping. The plowman comes, you sow the seed, 3 months you had a harvest. But God said in the last days, I'm going to put all of that together, and the sowman and the reaper shall become indistinguishable, because I'm going to do a major work in the last days. And ladies and gentlemen, you haven't seen anything yet. There's going to be more people saved from now to the coming of Christ than there's ever been. There's going to be more blind eyes open, more lame limbs straightened, praise God, more Holy Spirit outpoured. Why? Because we are not a seasonal church. We are a faith-filled church. It means that we can get figs off of the tree 12 months a year, 24 hours a day. As our faith is, so be it unto us. And Jesus said, say not 4 months and then the harvest. He said, I know you've just sowed it, and it's going to take 4 months for it to grow, and then it's going to turn white. But He said, no, I'm telling you, say not 4 months. He said, the day you say it, expect increase. Ladies and gentlemen, your biggest problem is you're simply not demanding enough. God said, command me ye. God wants you to become violent in your faith. He wants you to storm the gate and say, I will not be denied. There's a reason why God loved Jacob. There's a reason why God answered the plea of the Syrophoenician woman. God loves people that say, yes, I have faith in God. And God is bigger than the winter season. And God is bigger than the valley. And God is bigger than the storm. And God is bigger than the temptation. My God is a mighty God. He walks on the water. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He makes a way where there is no way. He opens the blind eye. He causes the dumb to speak and the dead to live. What a mighty God we serve. Change your attitude. Get your faith out and your expectancy up. God is about to do a new thing in your life, and it's time for us to begin to praise in an unseasonable, unreasonable way and say, I don't care what the world is saying. My hope is not in a vaccination. My hope is in the power of the living God. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's in this room. He's in my heart. He's in my life. He's in my house. He's in my body. He's in my family. What a mighty God we serve. And He's in this room right now. Somebody ought to give the Lord a shout of praise. Let me hasten to a close. For 38 long years, the man laid by the pool not by himself, but with a whole congregation of people. It was a whole church full of people that said, someday God's going to make a way, but not today. This is just not the season. The Bible said they waited on angel season, and once a year for 38 years, the angel would come, and one person out of the multitude would receive a miracle. And this man had been laying there for 38 years. And one day Jesus arrived on the scene and said, "Will thou be made whole?" And the man was tempted to go into a theological discourse and explain to Christ how he had to wait on a certain season. Someday, somewhere, sometime, it's going to happen. My question is, why not today? Why not now? Why not right this moment? Receive your miracle. Receive your healing. Believe God that God's going to turn it around no matter what it looks like. It simply does not matter. And out of that great multitude of people, one out of a multitude that had been waiting 38 years agreed with God. Today is my day. And he broke the cycle of the seasons, and we see him picking up his bed and walking. What a transformation. Ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to wait for a better time and a better day. I hesitate to say it because I understand a lot of people are suffering, a lot of people have been sick, and some have died. But the last 8 or 9 months have been the greatest time of blessing in my personal life because I just refuse to cave. I refuse to give in. I refuse to resign. I know churches that have closed down for good that are never going to come back. My banker told me that 40% of the churches that she knows about, and they finance a lot of churches, have closed down for good and they're never coming back. Friend, I refuse to give in to the season. I'm as unreasonable. You can't reason with me. You can't reason my God away. You can't reason miracles away. You can't tell me God doesn't do that anymore. You can't tell me that it stopped in the book of Acts. I'm unreasonable and unseasonable, and my faith is bigger than it's ever been. I hear the sound in the mulberry tree. I see the cloud like a man's hand. God is about to do something that is never done in America. Don't get ready to die, America. Get ready to live. Don't get ready to stop. Get ready to start. This is our finest hour. And so this man that had been living there 38 years is totally restored and made whole. I wish that was the story of every incident in the Bible. But I close with this one. Felix, a mighty man of political power. Paul stands before him. And Paul's testimony was engaging. It was powerful. It was supernatural. I was of the strictest sect of the Pharisees. I killed Christians for a religion, for a lifestyle. That's the way I made my living, Felix. But let me tell you what happened. On the Damascus Road, this man born out of due season was struck down. I fell off of my beast, and I lay there and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." I got up. I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "I have now believed everything that Christ is, was, and will be. I believe he is the resurrection, the Alpha, the Omega." Oh, what a testimony he had before Felix. And Felix was so under conviction, he was shaking that day. "And almost thou persuadest me, almost." But he said, "For the time being, go away, and I will call you at a more convenient season." There is no record that he ever called him again. Felix died in his sin without God, simply because he believed it wasn't the right season. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us that they tarried on the day of Pentecost until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's not one scripture that tells us they ever tarried again for the Holy Spirit. It was an advent. It was the opening of a dispensation. And what was that? And that was that you can be instant in season and out of season. You don't have to wait for Benny Hinn to blow on you. You don't have to have Joel Osteen to tell you you can live your best life now. You don't have to fly to California. You don't have to have Steve Fender lay hands on you. The moment that you take your faith and you say, praise God, I know that God is good all the time. I know that God is wonderful, magnificent, mighty, almighty. I know that God is light. I know that God is love. I know that God cares about me. I know it's the will of God to heal me. I know it's the will of God to save me. I know it's the will of God to fill me. I know it's the will of God to liberate me. I know it's the will of God to prosper me. I know, I know, I know. And friend, when your faith does that, God writes you into heaven's hall of faith in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and you become an Abraham or a Rahab. You become an Isaac or a Joseph, friend. This is our greatest time. Would you stand on your feet right now and lift both hands and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my faith is out of control. I believe that God is going to do more in my life than has ever done. I believe there are doors opening for me in every area of my life. God's going to give me ministry. God's going to give me souls. God's going to give me miracles. God's going to give me money. God's going to give me influence. God's going to give me joy that overflows. This is my finest hour and my best day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in this room right now and you've got any need at all in your life, if you need to be saved, this is your day. Say, well, later. No, right now. If you need to be baptized, you say, I'm going to do that one of these days. This is your day to be baptized. If you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, say later. No, this is your day to receive the Holy Ghost. Someday I'm going to get healed. No, this is your day to be healed. This is your day, praise God, to speak faith and to get a call on Monday morning about a job that you've been wanting. People believe.